Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel, links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Well, praise God. You know, a lot of churches, when the Gideons come in that Sunday, that's the service, but not here. So get your Bibles out. We're going to go some word here. Now, at the end of the message here, or the end of the service, the Gideons will be at the back door. They have an open Bible. It's the way they like to receive an offering. So if you want to, as you're leaving, you can put an offering within their Bible right there and bless them. We want to bless them. I want to be the church. I want us to be the church around here that always does better than everybody else. Amen? So, praise God. I want you to go on your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 4. I'm taking a deviation from the message on the mantle today. I'm preaching a completely different message. It's a single. And it's exciting. But I'm just going to preach it today. Amen? So y'all said, come on, Pastor, preach it. In Luke 4, Jesus, 4 verse 16, Jesus comes to church, his church, there in Nazareth. They had the time that the reading of the scroll was going to be there, a reading of the Bible, the word there that day. And it says, Jesus comes in and he says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Everybody say the place where it's written. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendants, and they sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, just this week, I was just in my daily reading, and you know, I've taught y'all this, and you know, whether you, I don't know if you do it or not. If you don't tell me. But, you know, I read through the Bible. I'm reading all the time. I'm reading an Old Testament scripture. I'm reading a psalm, I'm reading a proverb, I'm reading one of the prophets, and I'm reading the epistle, and I mean, and the gospel. I'm just, every morning I'm reading, every morning it's, I read 22 over here, then that's 23, and right through that's how I read. Well, the other day when I was reading, it fell that I read right here in Luke 4, and I was thinking about what Jesus said, and he quoted Isaiah 61. That was that scripture he got, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, came from Isaiah 61. So when they handed him the Bible, let me just say it like that. It was a scroll, but they handed him the Bible, and where the reading was Isaiah 61. Well, you know, sometimes you get to thinking about things in life, and you're reading your Bible, and you don't realize how prophetic it is, because when Jesus, you know, it was arranged and ordained by God that Jesus, the Son of God, who was going to be the Lamb that was going to be slain for all of our sins, walked up that day, and the Bible, that was their daily reading. Y'all with me? He didn't go through it, and I said, let me see, I'd like to read Isaiah 61 today. That was the reading that was supposed to be taking place in church. He was just reading, and he reads Isaiah 61, and then stops and says, today, that scripture is fulfilled in your ears. I mean, that's amazing to me, that God had it all arranged for Jesus to walk in there at that day, at that time. God arranges things in our life. Listen to me, church. God arranges things in your life, whether you recognize it or not. Some people think all the bad things God arranges. That's not true. God is arranging things. He's trying to put you in places. He's trying to put you in positions. He's trying to put you in front of Him through whatever situation's going on in your life and whatever's around you. But are you going to recognize it? Are you going to see it? Are you going to want to say, oh, that's God? What if the guy that Brother Kelly just talking about there, what if the guy that was coming down the road said, oh, I'm just going crazy, man, I didn't hear nothing, and went in there and shot all those people? You see how many times in life God's trying to throw something in front of us and put something in front of us, but we're not even listening. Because we're so, and excuse my language this morning, we're so hell-bent on going down to our destruction. Because the Bible says that there is a wide road that leads to destruction. It's easy to go down the wide road. But he said it's the narrow road that leads us over here to life. Folks, listen to me. I'm not talking about, I know you people. I know y'all's hearts. Y'all aren't bad people. None of y'all in here, I know you're not bad people. You don't have evil intentions. You're not sitting around in the back, you know, cutting up black cats and trying to whoop up some kind of curse, a spell, and throw over on so-and-so and praying and wishing people's businesses are burned down and stuff like that. That's not y'all. But the thing is, in life, is I, as a father, a pastor and a father to you, I want to see, sometimes I think, more good for you than you want to see. It's like a father with his children. I want my kids to succeed. I want them to be better than I am. The same as I am as a pastor to you, I want to see you walking in the blessings. I want to hear testimonies every week of the amazing things God is doing to you. I want to hear things coming back. Oh, man, I was going down the road the other day, and I heard the Lord speak to me, and I went and did this, and my gosh, I walked up, and there's a $5,000 laying on the ground. I want you to come tell me testimonies. Man, I don't own but 20 acres, and an oil company wants to lease it, and they said that spindle, the new spindle top is in my backyard. I want to hear the testimony that my wife and I were about to get into a fight. I had a bat and she had a frying pan. We were just about to tackle into it and the glory of the Lord showed up in our house. The Shekinah glory of God fell and we were slain and the spirit knocked to the ground. God up praising and singing the praises of God. I love the woman more than I've ever seen in my life. That's those testimonies I want to hear. Y'all with me? I know it's possible. We're not supposed to be just living a life down here on earth and just getting along, trying to make it work out. God wants to bless you. Well, as I read this and I began to think about Jesus' words and all this, well, then I you know, like I said, I'm just reading through the Bible. So now go over to the book of Leviticus chapter 25. It just happened to be my daily reading. Okay, Leviticus 25. So again, I'm looking for God. I'm saying, what are you talking about, God? Leviticus chapter 25. I've heard people tell me nothing good can come out of Leviticus. I love the book of Leviticus because I'm a detailed kind of guy. I like to know what's going on, and I like to look at what God's saying. Leviticus 25 is one of the most amazing chapters in the Bible. I'm going to start reading verse 1. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I have given you, then the land you shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of the solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your fields nor prune your vineyards. You shall grow what grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap. You shall gather the grapes of the unintended vine, for it is a year of rest for the land. The Sabbath produce of the land, and the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you and your male and female servants and hired men and the strangers to dwell in, for your livestock, for your beasts that are in the land, and all its produce shall be for your food. And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of year for yourself, 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7th Sabbath of the year shall be to you 49 years. And you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. You shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you. Each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. The 50th year shall be a Jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap, nor grow of its own accord, nor gather the grapes for your untended vine. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. The year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession, and if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy anything from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years of Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor according to the number of the crops he sells to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price. According to the fewer numbers of years, you shall diminish the price, for he sells to you according to the numbers of years of the crops. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. All right. God said, so let me just put this in South Texas English. He said you're only supposed to work 6 days, and the seventh day you're supposed to take a rest. It's a holy day. He said you're only supposed to work 6 years, and the seventh year you're supposed to take a year off. Now, you know what's funny to me is I've heard people, you know, like people go into the Old Testament and they read it and they come up and they say, well, you know, God says, now don't anybody get flared up anything right now, okay? Don't get flared up. You're watching, don't get flared up. I'm just using this as an example. They say, well, God says don't eat pork. We're not supposed to eat pork. God said don't eat pork. And then you got the next person like, well, that's in the Old Testament. You know, it's not New Testament. But I don't know anybody who would want to bash this. God said, take off a whole year. God wants me to take off a year. And everybody's like, wow. I mean, can y'all imagine? I can't. I've never taken more than 10 days off of my entire life. I've never been gone for 2 weeks in my life. Never can make it work because of the amount of Sundays that go on. I've never been gone for more than 2 weeks or 10 days from this church in 21 years I pastored the church. Prior to that, I was broke, had no time to take off at all, didn't even take off a week. My point is I can't, when I read this, it's one of the things in the Bible that shocked me because God is saying, I want you to work 6 days a week, the seventh day, you make sure and take a rest and you go through there. And I only want you to work 6 years because the land needs to rest. So we're going to let everything go back. We're going to let, like if that field out there had a vineyard in it, you can go out there and you can eat the grapes off of it, but you're not supposed to take it home and make grape jelly. You know why? Because if you read on down in Leviticus, get down to chapter 21, he says, in the sixth year, I'm going to make it produce twice as much. So the harvest that you usually got, or if you let me say it this way, the income that you usually got, I'm going to pre-set up your vacation. I'm going to bless you so much in the sixth year that in the seventh year, you've got double the amount of wages. And then I'm going to just let it you rest a whole year so that when you start back in the eighth year, you still got the produce off of it, but you still got the seed in the ground. You still got the crops. You're going to start producing. Everything's going to be okay. How many of y'all like that plan? You know, I mean, that is exciting to me. I looked at my wife and I said, man, I can't in my mind even imagine taking 1 month off. And I said, but wouldn't it be fun just to, you know, buy a 500-pound sack of dog food, put it in there, tell the dog, fend off for your best, you know, fight the coons off or whatever. I'm gone, dude. Open up the gate, let the sheep have everything, and just drive off. Tell somebody to go by and check for a month to see if the house didn't burn down. We look at that and we say, you know, we laugh about it because we see how difficult it is. But do you see the plan of God? And how far off we are from it? Do you see the plan of God and how far off we are from it? A lot of us, and I thought about this, how tempting it would be to think, well, wait a minute. The sixth year I got double, and then there's a harvest just sitting out there. And if I got it, I'd have triple. That would be our typical thinking. Well, what's interesting is I began to read this, and I just fell into it. I fell into that. That was just my daily reading. I'm reading because I believe God sets things in front of us. And so I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about what it was and what Jesus said. And when Jesus quoted Isaiah 61, because he said this, he was declaring it to today that Scripture is fulfilled in your ear. And I got to wondering about it, and then I realized the season we're in. Because I told you last week it was Rosh Hashanah and we prayed for Israel. And then starting on the 22nd, September the 22nd, is Yom Kippur. So the evening of September the 22nd to the next evening of the 23rd is the Day of Atonement. Well, the Day of Atonement was when the high priest in Israel went into the Holy of Holies. He went into the tent behind the curtain where the Shekinah glory of God was, and was just praying he wasn't going to die, because he had to go through all the ceremonial cleansing for himself so that his sins could be cleansed, so he could walk into the presence of God and not be fried. And so he went in there to pour out the perfect blood of a lamb onto the mercy seat. The mercy seat, you remember, the gold box. And inside it was the Ten Commandments. Aaron's rod that budded and the golden pot of manna was all sitting in there. Everything that represents all man's mess ups. And he pours the blood out on top of it. Atone for the sins of Israel for 1 year. I have to try to just kind of imagine this stuff. You know, I don't know, but I can imagine if all the priests that were in the, not the Holy of Holies, but just the inner part of the tabernacle, when the high priest went back to the boundary saying, you know, is it God? I hope he comes out. And then when he came out, don't you know where he went? And the priest, I imagine the high priest is sweating, thinking, God, I'm going to may die. Okay? Y'all following me here. Well, that starts Tuesday for Israel. That's the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So then I got to thinking, and I said, you know, I wonder what the Jubilee years are, because I haven't kept up with that, and I just wonder, and multiple websites, multiple places of, you know, authority are saying that starting on the 23rd, it is the year of Jubilee. That there was one in 1917, 1966. Now, I'm not much of a person for preaching on dates, let's be honest with you. Because, you can just get caught up and really get messed up. But something striking started hitting me. And I'm just telling you this morning and preaching this to you as to get your eyes open. Everywhere I go, and I don't know about y'all, I don't know if you've run into this, but people are walking up to me and telling me, not like, oh, pastor, let me tell you this testimony. I mean, in casual conversation of just my daily activities, nobody's, you know, coming to me as pastor necessarily. They're just talking to me. And they're talking to me about how the strangest thing's been happening, that even though the economic times look bad, that their businesses seem to be prospering. And that some of people are having the record years they've ever had before, in the middle of all the bad things going on. Other people have been telling me that they've been trying to get a business going for years, and then all of a sudden it started to work. And then somebody else has told me this, and I've been hearing this over and over. Somebody got a better job. Somebody got this. Somebody got that. I've been hearing it. And so I started thinking about it, because you got to understand something. The year of Jubilee, the high priest, when he came out and it was all done, they blew the shofar. The trumpet is what it says in the Bible, but it was the shofar. It was the ram's horn. And they made this big ram's horn blast. And that signified throughout all the land that the atonement had been poured out for the sins of Israel, and it was a Jubilee. Now just think about this, folks. If you had gone into debt, if you had sold the farm, if you'd gotten into whatever, and all of a sudden when that horn blew, you knew that you got restored back to you your inheritance. If you knew that, would that not be an exciting moment? That everything you had lost, or your parents had lost, or however it had worked, everything that was gone, it was back to you. It was yours. You moved out of the shack you were in back to the mansion you once owned. Don't you imagine there was all kind of dancing and duping and hollering, and when they heard that shofar go off, that there was joy throughout all the land? And what happens to us as Christians, I believe, is that we get caught up with the problems of life and the hurdles that we're having to overcome, and we get so focused on the problems and so focused on what's going on that we don't think about what's ours. We don't think about what's ours. What's your benefit? What's your blessing? Well, starting Tuesday, It is the year of Jubilee in Israel. They're going to blow the shofar. They're going to go through the whole thing. They're probably not going to restore anything back, because it's so funny, because I got to reading some of the websites that were Jewish-based, and they were like, yeah, but that was only Jubilee only went, it only happened when they were in the promised land, and we don't have all of our promised land back and all this. And I'm like, you're just making excuses because you don't want to give anything back. But I want to ask you this. What's the enemy stolen from you? Now, I'm not talking about just financial. I'm talking about emotional. What's he stolen from you? Relational? Maybe you had a really good friend and then y'all got crossways and you lost one another and you're not friends anymore and you lost that relationship. That's something that's been stolen from you. And God wants to restore it. May not be the same friend, but He wants to restore it. God wants restoration. And this year is a year that you need to be standing on and you need to be calling on and you need to be asking God to restore all that you have lost. And if you don't have sense enough to know what you've lost, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you've lost. Maybe you've lost your joy. Maybe you've lost your health. Maybe you've lost your peace. You may have lost something physical, business, property. May have had to file bankruptcy and lost everything. But this is a year of restoration. This is a year declared by God that this is what He wants to happen. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I get excited just thinking that my God wants to restore something to me. Right? That God is sitting on the throne right now, and He wants to restore to me. But you know something? In order to receive back your inheritance, you know what you had to do? You had to go take it or go get it. What if you bought a piece of property from a person, you knew that there was 20 years only left before the Jubilee came and had to be restored back to him, so you bought the property based on the value of what 20 years worth was. You knew they were supposed to come get it because, you know, the 20 years is up. It's the year of Jubilee. They blew the shofar. And they looked down the road and the person never came and got it. Now, I'm sure there was something written in the Talmud or some religious documents about what happens in that case because nobody comes back to claim it. But wouldn't that be foolish if the person had gone off and all that and he says, oh, you remember? Oh, wait, it was already the year of Jubilee? Oh, I was supposed to go get my farm. Whose fault's that? Huh? It's your own fault because you didn't go back and do it. You didn't go claim what's yours. If you sit here as a Christian and let yourself be stolen from and you never stand up and take authority and declare that God is a God of restoration in your life and He wants to restore to you, and you never stand up and take it, you never get back what and claim what God has taken, well, then how can God restore it back to you? I'm telling you, as my heart is, as I want to see you guys blessed, I know it's God's heart even larger that wants to see y'all blessed, wants to give unto you and wants to bless you so exceedingly abundant beyond you can even think or ask. But the problem is we're in the way. Our doubt and unbelief. And I'm just telling y'all, in a natural sense, this is a year of Jubilee. And just naturally. It's the 50s, the 49s, the 77s, and 7s, and all that. Now, I want to go show you one more thing here. Go to Galatians chapter 4. You know, I'm going to say this, and y'all may want to fire me over this, and that's okay. I'll go on a year's vacation. Honestly, I used to be more Pentecostal than I am now. I used to think that if I could preach this message down to the point and get y'all up here and lay hands on you and shake the dog out of you and push you around some and believe God to knock you on the floor and, you know, even want to trip a few of you just to get something to happen. If I could really get a dog and pony show going, really blow some smoke in here and really do all this, that then maybe you could come to the place to receive it. But now I'm at the place in life that I'm telling you the truth. I am speaking solid, prophetic, hard rock truth to you. And I know that all you have to do is grab hold of it and by faith speak it out of your mouth and it's truly yours. And I want to lay hands on you differently if you're not walking in that. Because I want to say, well, shame on you. I've taught you. I'm telling you the truth. Grab hold of it by faith. Walk in it. Come on, just get up in the morning and say, woo, it's a year of Jubilee. Not just get up in the morning and say, oh, God. I don't know if I'm going to make it. You know, I don't know. The world's terrible. Everything's terrible. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to die and go to heaven, but I mean, gosh, when's that going to take place? I mean, that's the way Christians have been walking. We're just going along, biting our fingernails, all worried and thinking, whatever, when we should be waking up in the morning and saying, man, I serve the King. Glory to God. That's what we should be doing. We should be walking in there and confessing, God, I declare that I have been stolen from. The enemy is stolen from me. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Proverbs that he's got to restore back sevenfold, but I'll just take one fold. Lord, whatever. You said it's supposed to be this is a year of restoration. This is a year of Jubilee. I heard the shofar blow. You said it, Lord. You confirmed it, Lord. And I want it. And I want it back in my life. And I'm believing today I'm going to be restored. He said, well, you're just thinking positively. That's what I'm talking about. I just want to lay hands on you hard, fast, and continuously. It's like we got to come to the place in life that we grow up and we mature to the place where as Christians, we grab hold of the Word and what He says and not me have to try to, you know, rub it in with the holy anointing all into your head to get it. I'm telling you that your potential is unbelievable of what God wants to do for you. Now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, look at this. He says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Your Jubilee already really truthfully came the day that you got saved. Because all that had been stolen from you could be returned at your faith. Again, you don't know it's yours. You don't go claim it. You don't get it. Shame on you. Y'all with me? I told y'all that last week, I believe, you know, that I have had a nephew that went and did a DNA test on his blood, and it came from my side of the family that there was a very small percentage of Jewish blood in him. Well, he had to come from my side of the family, so that means there's Jewish blood in me. And so, man, my whole faith has changed because, see, I thought I was a Gentile. And now I'm claiming my little 0.2%. And I'm saying, wait a minute, I'm in the family. I want the blessing. I want the benefit. I want a double anointing because I'm going to get it by faith over here and by my Jewish roots. Somebody was Jewish. I didn't know that. I've been losing out on half my blessing. Told my wife, I said, man, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm in the family. I don't know if they let spouses in, but I'm in the family. But I didn't know it. But now I do. So what a fool I'd be not to grab hold of it. I mean, I hopefully there's not a cut off a percentage. Something. I got something. But through this side, I'm already a son of God. Your jubilee really started the day you got saved if you just walk it in and claim, call back what's supposed to be yours. It is the physical year of jubilee, but I'm telling you, your jubilee started at your salvation. But a lot of us don't walk in it. How can we be? Just think of this. How can sons of God act like sons of the devil and not have a revelation of who they are? We're supposed to be walking in such glory. You're supposed to hear that shofar blow off in your ear every day that it's a year of jubilee for you. You're supposed to walk in it every day of every year, of every second, of every moment. When a problem arises, you need to be calling as a son upon your Father who creates worlds. And if you, listen, if you want to stay in that mindset of, well, you know, sometimes God says no and He knows better and I'm just praying and saying, God, just whatever you want to give me, then I thank you, Lord, for giving me that. If that's really your heart and that's really what you believe and that's what you're sold out to, you're in the wrong church. Because I ain't preaching that garbage. Because Jesus said, you speak to the mountain and you say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. It even says that you have to confess and you have to believe to be saved. You have to do something. Can you imagine somebody going up to you and say, listen, Jesus loves you, died on the cross for you, and He wants you to walk in salvation and to go to heaven and be there with Him. And he said, well, you know, if He wants me saved, He'll save me. If He doesn't, well, then I guess not. You can't, you that just sounds like crazy thinking, crazy talk. Oh, so then you're going to do that? Well, I'm just going to try to do the best that I can while I'm here on earth. I'm just going to do the best that I can and try to, you know, get in there. And sometimes I don't make good decisions. Sometimes I do. And I'm just going to see what happens. And we'll just let it fall where it may. And, you know, and then, you know, at least I'm going to die and go to heaven someday. Man, I'm telling you, they throw me in a lion's den like they did the early Christians. Throw me in a lion's den. I want to tell you, I'm going to be praying for the anointing of God, of Daniel, to come upon me and shut the lion's mouth. You can run if you want to. You can go over there and sing hymns if you want to. You can sing, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm just about to see you. I'm sitting there saying, you in the name of Jesus, you foul beast from the pit of hell, you'll not eat me. I'll get Pentecostal at that moment, I guarantee you what. Because I'm going to be throwing down. I shut your mouth in the name of Jesus. I'll call on angels. The legions of angels to come down and shut them. I'm going to stand right to the very end. If He eats me, I'm going to heaven and say, what happened? Where were you guys? What were you doing? You didn't hear me down there. Right? But I'm going down with a fight. And knowing me, I'll probably start out, you know, I'll start out in English and end up in tongues and then start cussing at the end if it doesn't, you know, go right. But it's going to fly. It's going to fly. My mouth's going to be flying like a machine gun. But I also want you to understand something, church. If you're not willing to do that in your life, you're not going to see the jubilee come upon you. If you're not willing to rise up and stand up and say, no, God, as a son of God, it's mine and I want to walk in my inheritance, you're not going to see it. One more scripture and I'm about through. Galatians chapter 3, still in the same book. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. The church at Galatia there, they the Christians are getting Paul actually says bewitched. They were getting hoodwinked that people were coming in and telling them that, I know that you're as a Christian, you're saved and the blood of Jesus washed you, but you still have to live by the old letter of the law. You've still got to keep all the Jewish traditions and commands. And so Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ is clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you now have been made perfected by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, if in you all the nations shall be blessed, and those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now look down at verse 10. For as many as you have of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curses everyone who does not continue in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but of man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the blessings of Abraham are going to come upon the Gentiles in faith. But if you don't walk in faith, you're not going to receive the blessings. And it doesn't make any difference that this is the natural year of Jubilee. If you're not in faith and connected to God moving in your life and redeeming and restoring you, you're not going to see any difference. You're going to worry right on through this next year. Hello? And I'm telling you, worrying's killing us. Worrying's killing us. And we're not supposed to be worried. We're supposed to be sons of God who stand up in the mornings and declare what blessings are ours. And if ever so, it should be this year, and you should be spurred knowing that this is the year of Jubilee. And God still keeps his commands, and his ordinances he gave Israel were eternal. So I want to ask you again, what have you lost? What have you lost? What do you need to have redeemed? What do you have to go get redeemed? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you asking for it? Or are you just mourning what you lost? Some of us just sitting around mourning what we lost. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. You're not sitting around declaring out of your mouth, this is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of Jubilee in my life. This year, Lord, I'm being redeemed. This year, I'm walking in your power. This year, I'm walking in your promises. This year, my family is prospering. This year, my children are being blessed. This year, I'm getting everything redeemed that belongs back unto me as a son of God. Is that what you're confessing in the mirror in the morning? Or are you just kind of, is your favorite song, Que Sera, Sera? Whatever will be, will be. And you can live, listen, this is the glory about it. Jesus is so loving, and I'm so loving. If you want to believe that, glory. Just don't complain to me. It's like what's going on in the world today. If you want to go be a flaming liberal, go do it. But just leave me alone. Quit trying to tell me I have to go down the road with you. That's where I'm starting to balk. You don't even want to get me started there. Not today. Do y'all hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you this morning? Well, I want you to stand up, and I want to have my prayer team come down here. Now, I'm going to pray for you this morning, but it may be a kind of a different prayer than you're used to. I'm not going to pray that God hears your prayer. I'm not going to pray, God, you know, bless so-and-so and so-and-so and so. I'm going to pray that you will, that an anointing of zeal will come into your life. That you will have the zeal, the zest, the power, the determination to tear into this. Because folks, if you tear into it and you find it for yourself, it's always going to be yours and you're going to be set free. If I give you a word this morning and tell you, yay, hey, thus saith the Lord, bada ba bada ba bada ba bing, then you're going to say, man, that was a good word Pastor gave me. And then 3 months from now, you may be saying, I don't remember what that word was he gave me, but man, that was a good word. And then 6 months from then, you may be saying, ooh, I don't remember when they were, what the word giver came from, but I'm, you know, Lord, I've lost everything. No, if it's yours, it's yours. You dig into it, it's yours. Listen to me. The promises that came out of my life, the revelational truths that came out of my life because I was flat, broken, I saw God multiply my finances and I saw God bless me in the midst of a storm, those things you can't take from me. I've had a gazillion words spoken over me. Some I kept, and some I confessed, but I have forgotten a lot. But I never forgot what God revealed to me. It's time. This is the day. This is the hour. This is what the Spirit of God is saying to us. It's time for us to have some zeal and get in there, dig into it, and find it. Because then it's yours. And I'm telling you, this message is going all over the world. What I'm preaching to you right now is not just like, oh, Pastor, he's just irritated, and so he's taking it out on us. No, it's going across the world. I'm talking to pastors all over the place, and they're telling me what God is saying to them and what they are preaching, and it's the same thing that he's calling his people to dig in, grab hold of a revelation from him, and their lives are being miraculous changes and blessings going on in people's lives. So I'm going to pray for you to have zeal this morning. All right? So if that's you, then just lift up your hand and open up your heart, and I want to pray this prayer over you. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning for godly zeal. Lord, right now I just speak it over every person, godly zeal to come into their lives. To be zealous for the things of God. To be on fire, like Jeremiah said, burning in his bones, Lord God. A zealous fire to find the word, to find the truth, to find the revelation, to have restored back unto us what's rightfully ours. That, Lord, I believe it right now, for a supernatural stirring of zeal within their lives, a hunger. That even the bitter things of life become sweet because God was seeing you move. So, Lord, I declare it over each and every household right now. I declare, Lord God, as we enter into this natural year of Jubilee, we already know it's all our, we already got Jubilee, but Lord, as we enter into this natural year, I declare this is the greatest year of their lives. That they are blessed, that Israel is blessed this year, that there's blessings going around, that God, you are supernaturally moving. You're supernaturally stirring our lives. And I declare, Lord God, that today is a new day. And that we will mark this day as a day that God put zeal in our heart and changed our lives. So, Lord, I praise you for it. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, listen to me. Listen to me one more second. You don't want to leave this building today if you don't know you're right with Jesus. If you're not right with Jesus, please come to the front and pray with one of these people up here and just say, man, I don't know if I'm right with Jesus. That's all you got to tell them. They'll lead you to the Lord right there. They'll help you. They'll pray with you. They'll bless you. If you're in here today and you're leaving and there's something, there's a major mountain and an obstacle in you and you need some prayer, you need some help, you need somebody to kind of walk with you arm in arm for a little bit here, These people are up front. That's why they're here, to pray with you. Power, miracles, signs, and wonders can happen right here. You just got to walk in it. Don't leave the building if you need prayer. Don't walk out the door. I'm not going to patty cake around and just be all nicey-nicey and all this. I'm just telling you guys, listen to me. Don't walk out that door if you don't know Jesus. If you're not right with Jesus, don't walk out the door. Let the convicting power of the Holy Ghost and some zeal stir on the inside of you and come pray with one of these people. Amen? Now look at the person beside you and say, are you right with Jesus? And if you sense in your heart they're not, well, then bring them up here. Amen? So, Father, I just declare right now, as we go out into this world, we're going to go out there and we're going to be lights in the midst of darkness. We are going to be people that are encouragers, people that are blessers, but we are the redeemed of the Lord, and we're going to walk in that redemption this year, Lord. I thank you for it. I thank you for blessing them, Lord, and blessing the Gideons that are here with us today. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. They're at the back door. Y'all make sure and give to them and bless them.